Hi, I'm Daryl Cagle, and this is the Cagle Cast, where we're all about political cartoons. And today we have two brilliant cartoonists joining us. We've got Michael D'Adder and Chris Wyant. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. Michael, here you've got Trump the Dandelion spreading seeds of hate. Tell us about this one.
Well, this is one of my favorite cartoons from the year because I had never seen anything like it before this. Now, not everything's been done, so you could probably go search and find something similar someplace, but I had never seen anything like this before.
This is an optimistic cartoon because he's running out of seeds of hate.
There's a lot more behind him.
I think I had just gone for I might have walked the dog and kicked some dandelions across the way. There was a million over there and gave me this idea.
Well, very nice.
Yeah, it's a great image. It's a very original image.
I'm still laughing at this one.
Yeah.
Lunch as he presses the launch button. That's hilarious.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I don't remember how this one came to being. I just remember wanting to do a launch cartoon, and I thought it looked like lunch, and that was it. That was probably it. It wasn't any more than that. Lunch. I mean, look at it. I wrote lunch, and it looked like lunch.
Was it around lunch? Like, is this observational humor between this, the dandelion?
You know, 15 minutes later, I was eating lunch. Whatever I'm doing, I'm having a drink. So if I was going to draw a cartoon now, they'd be drinking.
That's makes me hungry, too. Do you embrace the small hands on Trump?
I do, but I don't always do it. I did reduce the size, but I should have almost reduced it even more.
I do notice that it's a minority of your cartoons where you have a blue suit and a long tie.
Yeah, that's pretty much how I draw Trump. A bad posture, blue suit, red tie, white around the eyes like a raccoon, orange skin, and just completely messed up hair. That's pretty much Trump.
Very good.
Every time.
I thought this one was very good. You got the long tie and blue suit here. The abortion issue chases
my
him.
My ties are getting longer. Although I've seen everybody's ties are getting longer. I've seen ties that could go around the planet.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it quite that, but there was a tie last week and it just stretched forever. And I thought, no, I'll never go that far with the tie.
I noticed too that you are still drawing caricatures of Trump that look like Trump would in a photo rather than developing your own Trump character look.
Well, that is my style, though. I draw him like he looks like in a photo. Listen, I remember looking at a pile of cartoons and trying to figure this out like 20 years ago. And I always thought the cartoons that were the best captured the emotion exactly. So I can draw you a Trump and it would look like my Trump. But I like finding the right expression. The right expression for me is the cartoon. So I'm looking to draw the right expression on. Now, sometimes I find it myself, but I always want to have the right angle. I want his hair to look like Trump's hair. I want his posture to look like Trump's posture. And if I was drawing anybody else, Joe Biden, I want Joe Biden to look like Joe Biden, posture, face, expression, everything. So anyways, I know I get criticized for striving to make it look as much real as possible. Well,
you get criticized for that?
Yeah, I'm surprised. Because that is your style. I like that.
Some criticism I got going to the Washington Post that I tried too hard to make them look like photographs.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, it's a really nice. I mean, every artist, or you know, at least all the decent artists have something that's really identifiable about their work, whether it's their writing or their art style. And with yours, I always like it because that's yours, and that's, you know, I know what I'm going to get, and it does change over time because Trump's changing, and I've noticed yours, you know, holds up with it, but it's still far enough removed that it's stylistic.
It's not, to me, it doesn't look like a photograph. It looks like a theatrical cartoon.
That's right.
Well, also, you do such elaborate cross-hatching. It looks like you're working hard, but I don't get a sense that it looks like you're trying too hard or anything is overworked.
I don't even think about it at all. Everybody else thinks about it too, or there's a certain few that think about it too much. I draw the way I want to draw, and that's it. And it's a Canadian style to draw the person as realistic as you possibly. Like, you guys have McNally, and you have Herblock, and you worship the ground they walk on, but we have, in this country, it's Aislinn, it's Roy Peterson, it's Bruce McKinnon. Like, we strive for the caricature. The caricature is the cartoon for us, and making it look Bruce
McKinnon. You just named three cross-hatchy guys. Do you think of Canada as more crotch-hatchy than...
We're a cross-hatchy country. Listen, like, that's that's not it. There's, I could name five more. There's John Larder, Crosshatcher in Calgary. Amazing caricaturist. And Sir Chapleau from Quebec. You know, that guy's had hand surgery. He's crosshatched so much. I'm going to have hand surgery at Crosshatcher.
And no one would say that about Kevin Gallagher. They don't criticize that. They love it. So, you know, he does great. Great.
It's not very many people are criticized. I'm talking a handful of
good. Okay. Let's get
petty cartoonists. I'm turning this one into a giant painting. I'm thinking of it.
This is hilarious. He's pouring bleach for everyone. He encouraged people to drink bleach for their COVID. And you've done caricatures of each of these guys. This is a lot of work to do caricatures of all these guys.
This was all day long.
Yeah.
This was all day long and not taking a break. This is a carpal tunnel cartoon.
Unbelievable. Well, let me ask you, what pen are you working with here? Are you working with a quill? Or are you? What are you doing here?
Oh, this one's iPad. This one's
really
on the iPad. So yeah. I just drew. You couldn't draw this in one day on the iPad. This is a 2-day drawing on paper.
Wow.
Anyways, I just bought a 6x7 canvas. I'm going to paint this just to warm up painting. I'm going to paint this onto a canvas, I've decided.
Yeah.
It won't look like this. It'll look like the paint. It'll look more painterly.
I was going to say, there's another painting I've seen in a museum that's kind of similar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a rip off. I can't even remember. Listen, at one time I could tell you who the artist was. This is like Renaissance period art. This is not, this is Mike Diatter and the Renaissance.
Michelangelo Diatter.
No, it's not Michelangelo, but.
Okay, Chris, here you have Trump saying, I could be a 3-term president. And the people behind him are saying, serving one term in a New York prison, one term in a Georgia prison, one term in federal prison. That's great.
This did not take me 2 days.
Let me say that we syndicate Chris Wyant's editorial cartoons around the world, and he's one of the most popular cartoonists in our group with newspaper editors, and he's done award-winning children's books and is a regular New Yorker cartoonist, and he's a Harvard Nieman Fellow and an NCS Silver Ribbon winner. So very good.
Wow. La-di-da.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. That's a lot of good stuff.
So here you have this Baltimore-like container ship, Trump breaking the bridge between red and blue America without even a scratch.
My neighbor, this is the only person who really appreciate this cartoon, is my neighbor is a CEO of a shipping container company that goes between Asia and Europe. And so he's like thrilled at this cartoon. And can I get a print? It's like the only person who's going to notice this. I'm like, yes. I was like, how did I do with the graphics? Is it, you know, not a Leo solid.
Well, excellent cartoon.
I mean, it made a neighbor happy.
Here you have Trump with poor Liberty under the guillotine, and he says, what's the big deal? I said I'd only do this for a day.
It's a lot of red hats.
Do you get angry mail when you commit acts of violence against the Statue of Liberty or the Statue of Justice?
I don't. I mean, it's funny. You'd think that those would be the ones that would get something. I just get ones where they feel that I've been, and the most common thing is that the cartoons are biased and unfair. And against Trump, and this is why, and then they get pretty nasty. So it's not that they react to the violence. I think they're, especially in America, we're okay with violence. It's just that they really think that I'm being unfair to the and I've explained to him like what an editorial cartoonist does, and do you write opinion columnists? You know, this is, we don't do balanced. That's not the idea here. We do fair by our perspective, by our opinion based in fact, and with a little bit of hyperbole and exaggeration visually. So, you know, they never write back.
Are you guys good about responding to reader complaints like that? Because I burned out on that quite some time ago. I don't respond. And I find the conversations kind of go nowhere because they just restate their point of view.
I get involved sometimes. I get in these kicks where I try to slam them cleverly and then I post them online. You know what I mean? But it takes a little bit of work to do that. And I lose interest quick.
Yeah. I'll write back. If somebody emails me every once in a while, I usually don't do much of that because that sort of thing. But if I do things on social media, especially with Instagram, I'm not doing it for the purpose of the individual I'm responding to, but for the audience who I do notice read the comments and respond and connect to either what I'm saying, which is usually relatively fair. I used to be a little bit more snarky, but I felt like it was, you know, I don't do that until they get stupid. And then they're like, you don't get into an argument publicly with a cartoonist.
I'd say the main email I get is just a short, where are all the Biden cartoons?
Yeah. And now do Biden is what that's what I hear most often. Now do Biden. But they don't see the Biden here. Like on social media, like what is the point of saying that when there's two social medias, there's the right and the left, and the two don't see each other's posts. Like, so if I draw Trump, most people on the right see those because they're being shared for the reason of let's all attack this cartoonist for daring to do Trump. And on the other side of it, when they're angry, they see, you know, the Biden stuff. Anyways, I don't get it.
I asked you guys to send in Trump cartoons today because we've been doing more Trump themed podcasts because I have found that the readers want to look at Trump podcasts and they don't want to look at anything else. And you look at the difference between one that shows Trump on a cover image and the other ones just don't get traffic. Our traffic comes from YouTube and from our own mailing list. Mainly we pick up new readers on YouTube, and they are almost all of them anti-Trump and love these Trump podcasts and any other issue they don't care about.
Well, it's a historic character in our, you know, for our times, and they're concerned. And my experience has changed in terms of political cartooning, the feedback that I get, which is now cartoons as therapy to, you know, where people are feeling incredibly frustrated and isolated and feeling like the system is not working, which is on both sides of the fence, but they are really happy to see someone, especially when Trump is in power, to be able to stand up and scream at the king and call him a buffoon and call him out on his on the ridiculous things that he was doing or the hateful things he was doing. And so I got a lot of people saying to me, thank you. That got me through a really bad news day to have a laugh at, you know, to make it seem like, you know, there's still others out there like us. There are other people who have the same ethics or morals or belief in government. So there's a difference. I didn't get that kind of thing before him.
I should add that most editors are at conservative papers. Rural or suburban, smaller papers predominate, and they tend to be more Trumpy than the large urban papers. They print the same opinionless cartoons that the liberal editors do. So the conservative cartoonists don't get more reprints by and large. It's crazy.
Because editors these days don't want to ruffle feathers. I went into this business in a time period where editors want to ruffle feathers, or the editors that I worked with wanted to ruffle feathers. They might complain that they want conservative cartoons, but when they see the conservative cartoons, they go, we can't run that. It'll get too many complaints on the left. And so they go back to the regular cartoons and pick something that's pretty in the middle.
Yeah, and I think there's also with most cartoonists, and Michael, tell me if you go this way too, is like, I think most of us don't approach it as I'm a liberal cartoonist and I'm looking for a liberal issue. I look at the issues of the day and make an opinion about how I feel on that. If I decide that, yeah, you know, there's nothing, I have no problem making fun of Democrats or Biden or anyone else if I feel that they are offending in the greatest way that day on that news item.
Well, I don't consider myself a liberal cartoonist. I consider myself more in the centers. I don't really peg myself as anything. But if I had to define myself, I would put myself in the middle, and nobody puts me in the middle, really. You know, like they tend to put me to the left and far left, and I'm just not that guy. If you actually look at my work, I do some work that's would be considered conservative, you know, not a lot, mind you.
Other syndicates classify their artists as liberal, conservative, and moderate. And the cartoonists don't like that. We started off doing it just because the other ones did. And the cartoonists objected. They really didn't like it. So we stopped it.
Yeah, but I see this more with conservative cartoonists where there's not that many of them. And so when you see them, they will not take any shot at their leader. Sometimes they have to go through backbends to try to not criticize you. Like, that's the subject you're going to talk about today when we have this huge thing happening and you're going to pick this tiny little thing so you don't have to discuss what this president was doing. I find that, to me, that drives me crazy professionally, like, because I didn't do that with Obama. I didn't do it with Biden. It doesn't matter. You do the big issue of the day and you do the thing that, they're politicians. You lampoon a politician.
If you look at my Obama cartoons, you would think I tackled the issue of the day as the issue of the day. I didn't feel like I was promoting Obama. Yes, I thought Obama was a pretty good president, but I criticized him more than I flattered him, for sure, because he was the president of the United States.
That's right.
Trump because he's anti-democratic. He's
right.
Anti-democracy. So we're living in we were living with a president who was undermining the entire system. That's far different than a president whose right or left, or a president that you disagree with a lot, like George W. Bush. I didn't go after George W. Bush like I did Trump, because George W. Bush, although I did go after George W. Bush, but George W. Bush wasn't undermining democracy. Anyways, go ahead.
We do count these things. You know, the cartoons are keyword, and it's not hard for me to find how many Obama cartoons there are.
I know, you can embarrass us.
During the Obama years, the liberal cartoons were not drawing much Obama. And it was just, it was true. You know, now the conservative ones don't draw Trump, which is outrageous since he dominates the news. But on the other side, it was the case too. And now we're not seeing very many Biden cartoons, but I think that's not entirely because the cartoonists are liberal, but also because Biden just isn't funny.
Well, the problem with Biden is that he's a pretty middle-of-the-road politician who has a pretty good middle-of-the-road presidency. And there's not a whole lot there. But if you didn't have this massive cancer in the room, you could focus more on policy or foreign policy or Israel. There's a lot of things that you could focus on how he's handling. But that's not the story of the day. We have a former president who's just convicted of 34 counts as a felon. That's the story. I'd love to talk about, you know, the infrastructure bill, but not in face of that.
It's true. We don't have the passion for Biden. I don't like Biden. I never forgave him for Anita Hill and championing Clarence Thomas. I haven't liked him for decades.
He's a pretty conservative Democrat.
Yeah.
He is very conservative. He opposed abortion for most of his career. I don't like him, but that said, it's hard to have any real passion about that compared to Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're looking at Apocalypse Now compared to On Golden Pond. You know what I mean? What do you want to draw? I mean, I'd rather draw about Apocalypse Now than On Golden Pond.
Although they both have loons.
This is a great cartoon, Chris. Welcome to Mar-a-Lago sign, 3 days since the last incident. That's very good. I also think when you're soft and funny like this, you're more effective at being persuasive. You know, so many of the cartoons are name-calling cartoons, and I like name-calling cartoons. They're gratifying to people that agree, but softer and with humor, I think, has much more chance of persuasion.
Yeah, I don't know. I like a good hard hitting. I mean, I do cartoons for the New Yorker, and we tend to be, they're more clever and they can do certain things that traditional political cartoons can't do. But at the same time, I love political cartoons from newspaper style because they're just stronger, which I love. You know, they have a visual element to them that you can really do something that's harder hitting, but maybe it's less popular, I don't know, or less effective.
So you have the kids in science class as the eclipse is happening, and the teacher says, "Who knows what's the name of the big event coming up that will cast America into darkness?" And the little girl says, "Trump's second term."
Okay, I got to admit, this one's a great cartoon, I think.
Thanks.
Because you don't expect the girl to say that.
I did get hate mail on this, and it was because I didn't draw a whiteboard. I'm still drawing a goddamn chalkboard. And I wrote him back like, I know there's not. I have kids in school. I'm not drawing a whiteboard. It's really boring to draw. It's a whiteboard. I want to draw chalkboards. It's like, it's my classroom in my head, and I get to control the universe my way.
Don't most classrooms have a chalkboard and a whiteboard?
Yeah. Like, that's if that's your biggest issue with that, that's why I like those. Like,
here you have caught orange-handed, Trump with his tie tying up the hands for January 6th.
That tie doesn't have to be that big, holding those small hands.
It's true. I went a little far.
Also, his hands aren't orange. You know, they're pink like they're his pink. Ears. He doesn't do his ears. He doesn't do the under the ears. And often he doesn't get the bottom part of his neck.
It's true. I had to do it just for the gag. I normally do him flesh color because he does. We know where his real body is.
Absolutely. I knew why those hands were orange.
And here you have the Trump Presidential Library. You know, I did a podcast about Trump toilet cartoon, and I searched for toilet. And since then, I've been finding all these Trump toilet cartoons where artists did not put the keyword toilet into their cartoon. So I never found it for that podcast. Very frustrating for me.
When I was at the Washington Post, I wasn't allowed to draw the toilet.
Did they have a rule about no toilets?
And I actually got one in before the...
Did you? Did you get one?
They had a rule when, I think this would be before new management took over, because this was from Joanne Armoureau, who was the editorial page editor. She didn't like toilets, and I think maybe Fred Hyatt didn't too. So
yeah, I usually don't get a lot of luck drawing toilets. Editors don't like it. They don't like it.
Yeah, I don't think newspapers really like the toilet thing.
We have list of things, but I tell the cartoonists that editors don't like Hitler and swastika and toilet and poop and bodily fluids, but we don't disallow any of that. And I just notice that when the cartoonists draw it anyway, because, you know, they follow their passion, they don't take my advice, those cartoons just don't get reprinted. The editors are consistent about that.
Was this one reprinted? I don't remember.
So here's your Valentine's Day cartoon with Trump admiring himself on the park bench. And Cupid says, I've tried everything, but he's only in love with himself. That's very cute. Yeah,
this is a very good cartoon.
This is well-worn territory, guys.
I didn't see anything like that before, but now that you say that, I'm sure this has been done.
Well, you know, you get the, well, at least in terms of the Cupid, I love a good trope. You know, like, which is, you know, nothing I like better than Desert Island cartoons and being.
Oh, I love taking a trope and turning it into making it my own.
One more way if you can make it. I don't know how original I did this trope though, but
I get a kick out of when you do some trope and someone says, I did that. I'm like, everybody did that. Everybody did that.
That's not the one. Did you do it in a new way?
You did it in the last 3 or 4 weeks when it's a trope, when not. Not every cartoon, just the island type cartoons or taxpayer being held up by his feet or something.
Yeah. Well, it's always the same thing for me. It's like, I love the trope as long as the artist, and I think it's a pretty clear line, as long as the artist is bringing something new, right? If you can, it's like jazz, right? If you can you do a standard and find a new way to do it and just sounds like something new? Fantastic. You know, if you're doing the same one that we read 1,000 times, Statue of Liberty, and she does, you know, it drives me crazy. Like,
so, I get angry email from aspiring cartoonists who see a cartoon on the site that is a trope that we all know is a trope, but they don't know it, and they drew it, and they sent me a copy of their cartoon and say, this cartoonist stole my cartoon. And they're so angry.
I've learned it from well-established cartoonists, you know, like, it's just crazy sometimes.
I should add too, you have the big upper lip on Trump. There's a tradition among cartoonists that when there's something interesting about somebody's face, you make it bigger. Often that's a nose. Here on Trump, of course, he's got an interesting upper lip. A lot of cartoonists draw that as kissy lips or fish lips or circle lips, but you know, it's interesting. And so you make it big, and that makes cartoon sense. And his hair is big and his belly is big. And that's just what cartoonists do. That's just an explainer.
Yeah.
So
how many cartoonists draw Trump with a donut for a mouth? Many.
Well, enough that you can do it. And it's, you know, it's a definitional Trump.
I don't think he does look like he should have a donut. I just think that so many cartoonists do him with a donut mouth that the reader has gotten used to it. You know, I don't do it, but we as cartoonists have made it a thing.
Lovely day, but it's all labeled unfair. And that is how he sees the world. You know, if he is standing back counting his blessings, rich and powerful and has a lovely, although simultaneously ugly family, it's a lovely world for him.
He lives in a level of hell.
It's kind of like we're all a tiny bit angry that he seems to get away with everything and that he's so rich, so privileged. He could have a great life. But he chooses to see the world this way. He actually has a miserable life. We should take solace in the fact that he actually thinks that his life stinks. Like, he can't be happy.
No, it's true. I wrote, somebody had written me on social media, and I written them back because they were talking about being unfair and how this trial was unfair to him. I said, everything is rigged against him. He is a victim of everything. Everything is unfair. And I said, why do you support someone who is so such a victim and so weak? Like it's crazy. If he's everyone can take advantage of him, why bother? Has no power.
So here young George Washington says, of course I didn't lie. It's not like I was trying to cover up an affair I had with a porn star. Very good.
Yeah, it is good.
This is the problem when you have me on a podcast. I'm gonna look at all my work and it's okay. You know, it's fine. It gets the point across. It's good. Good enough. It is what it is. It's like good. That's an okay cartoon.
I don't put any cartoons on this podcast that I don't enjoy myself.
Oh, you might enjoy them. Yeah. Other people might enjoy them. I don't know how much I am.
So here you have Trump, who is really being very successful in delaying all of these cases, and probably with those delays, not having to suffer any consequences, in the hourglass, plugging up, making greater delay with the judge saying, maybe I need to call a plumber. It's very true.
Yeah, now this cartoon I like a little better. It's again, it's an hourglass trope, but it really feels to me this, especially when this is during his massive delays, the court cases when he was doing one delay after another being successful.
So did you originally think it needed a caption, or did you add the caption later because you know more people would get the cartoon?
You actually didn't need the judge and what he's doing at all.
But I've added captions where I didn't need them because I know that it will lead to 20% more people getting it.
Yeah, I think with this one, it was. It felt like that when I think I did the original sketch that it was going to leave. And even if I cut off the side of it as I look on the screen, it would hold. There's something missing, I think, in its energy. You know, like it's and maybe the way I'm drawing it, perhaps. But it felt like it needed a commentary.
Yeah, and I know, yeah. As a cartoonist, I read that caption as it'll make it 20% better.
Yeah.
Or more understandable.
Yeah.
More understandable.
The international cartoonists like to do cartoons with no words, and they strive to that. And yep. I always feel like if there's a chance I can do it with no words, I'd kind of like to go there just because I think that's kind of a goal.
Oh, I love no words. I'd like to do a book of no words. I try to do no words every day. But hardly any cartoon needs no words.
Right? Yeah, it's a very hard
I would
thing.
Say that as we look at the stats from the cartoons, I don't notice wordless cartoons performing any better. Perhaps they perform worse.
I don't know.
So, Michael, here you've got Judge Mershon, and Trump is doing his golf target practice.
Didn't need a caption either.
It really didn't. Judge Mershon says, "Keep this up, President Trump, and I'll hold you in contempt." Excellent cartoon.
Yeah. So did you draw this one and think I have to just add something?
No, actually, although it looks like I could have. No, I had the caption. I started with the caption, but I could. But now looking at it, I could have removed it. Although, you know what?
Different. A little bit different.
Weird in Halifax. It probably needed a caption. For a U.S. audience, yeah, I could have taken the caption out.
So. Here you have the rush to defend Donald Trump. Yes. I think this was a January 6th hearings cartoon.
No, this was just yesterday.
Oh, just yesterday.
Yeah.
They are not running away from it. They are running towards it full steam.
They're rushing
all the crazy arguments.
They're rushing to defend Trump. They're not rushing, running away. They're running over the flag to defend Donald Trump.
Right? Of course. And I should have seen that first. This is a good example of where I will edit myself out in order to look smarter.
So it says rush to defend Donald Trump. They're rushing. Now that you say that, what it needs is a podium, I think. Because this didn't perform well on social media, and now I know why. Because it looks like they're running away. When you have steps and everything, it looks like you're running away. I should have done the flag up in the corner, them running towards a podium to defend Donald Trump, now that I think about it. So there you go.
You know, kind of in the back of my head, I think running from left to right is a way, and running from right to left is two.
Hey, maybe that's the solution. Yeah, I thought this was a good cartoon up until like 3 seconds ago.
Welcome
to the podcast.
we're live on a podcast only to discover that my cartoons
right. Well, see, that's what you have to stand where I am, you know, like just go, they're all kind of suck.
And then yeah, it says rush
to work your way up.
I you know what? My cartoons all kind of suck. That's the problem.
Here you have the GOP elephant afraid of the mouse, but the mouse's shadow is Donald Trump, and that's charming. Wordless cartoon.
That's great.
Yeah, this is a wordless cartoon. That is why I like this cartoon most of all. It is absolutely wordless.
Yeah, it's great. Very great composition.
I was going to say, that's why I also like the Last Supper one. It's also wordless. It just has everybody and the earlier Last Supper cartoon.
Very good. So King Charles in red with his notorious portrait and Donald Trump in orange with his notorious mugshot.
Yeah, I'm sure there were several of these making the rounds now, but at the time it was right off this was the first cartoon I drew.
What did you think about King Charles's portrait?
I liked King Charles's portrait. I thought it was awesome, actually. I thought it was a great painting.
Yeah. You know, if it was an editorial cartoon, we would have all assumed it was blood and some kind of metaphor to British colonialism.
I love that. Hey, maybe it is British colonialism. Yeah. The artist did that. I tend to think the artist did that and maybe fooled King Charles, which made it better for me. You know, you get away with painting a monarch all in red with just their head and hands not red.
Yeah, I thought it was like one of the best things that he's been able to do to allow that to come to, to interview is like, it looks like his own Netflix special.
It's great.
You know, if he'd have done green instead of red, it would have been an allegory to his environmentalism and everybody would have said, meh.
But
It was green like the Obama portrait, where he's all in the grass or the leaves behind him. I think that's a great painting too.
I love that painting. Obama,
it reminded me of that painting, you know. And when you said green, it's just underlined.
But there's no controversy or interest if it's green.
Yeah, trust me, the artist loves the fact that there's so much controversy over this. The artist is taking this right to the bank.
So here you have Trump at the shooting gallery at the carnival, collecting all the money as people are shooting at the press. And of course, you don't win at any of these carnival games. I guess they can win MAGA hats.
Yeah, like the hats. That's a really nice image. That's great.
Oh my God, you know what? I forgot that I did the MAGA hat. I've looked at this cartoon so many times in the last 3 years, and it just doesn't register. It's like looking at a Coca-Cola logo. It does nothing for me because it always appears on my feed or whatever. I forgot I did all those MAGA hats. Can I give myself a compliment? That was a good idea.
Yeah,
compliment myself.
So here you have the amazing Kreskin, the mentalist, and the unbelievable Trump, the declassifier.
Yeah.
I love Kreskin. That's great.
That's actually one of my favorite caricatures of Trump, and I don't know why, but I just liked it. I just remember being when I was drawing it.
Anyways. It's kind of a hard angle to get him too.
Yeah, yeah.
There's really, without his hands not blocking his face, there's like so much information you have
to
communicate.
His hands are so small that they don't block his face.
The paper, like my originals are all on paper this size. Like I draw these things huge.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like the 24 by 18. That's a 24 by 18 drawing. That's too big. I'm stupid for doing it. I should be drawing little and I wouldn't spend so much time drawing.
Yeah, but
you just showed us that you're backwards and we've been looking at the mirror image of you all this time.
Okay, there you go. I just switched.
Oh, very good. Okay, so now we have the actual correct, mirror image view of you, Michael. It's very nice to be here.
On the right.
I have no idea if people are mirror image or not. So here you have Donald Trump at fairy tale time saying to the kids, I also declassified this.
I have to admit, when I came up with this idea, I did laugh to myself. Not that I laughed at my own cartoon. I mean, but
you should.
But this is a hilarious. I couldn't draw it fast enough. I was so excited for this.
It's a little reminiscent to me of George W. Bush.
Yeah.
On 9/11.
And you know what? Like I said, I get most of my ideas through life. I think I watched something on 9/11 that had George W. Bush telling us something before this.
So here, self-reflection. Elon Musk is thinking, I was wrong to buy Twitter. Vladimir Putin thinking, I was wrong to invade Ukraine. And Donald Trump thinking, Melania was wrong about Dr. Oz. That's cute.
That's good.
Oh, thanks. I strive for cute every day.
You got the tie in there.
Oh yeah,
you did. And the tiny little hand in a pocket.
It's almost too much, that tie. It's almost like you didn't have to put the tie. You didn't have to have the tie in there,
Mike. It's our eyes. I really love watching like artist decisions, like, you know, because we'd have to, you know, our point is to try and get you to move your eyes around the paper in a certain way, right? Yeah. We have to magically direct you without you knowing and make it still seem like a cartoon. So I always like these little art directions, whether they're purposeful or not, but they serve a purpose.
And you've got Trump drinking a Coke and Putin clearly drinking vodka. What is Elon Musk drinking?
I don't know. That's vodka. I don't know what I'd have Elon Musk drunk. I probably just made scotch. But I did get thoughts too. I do, as I'm drawing, think about the drawing the entire time. I do think about, I'm not so sure, and I bet you I did look up quickly and realized that looking for a drink for Elon Musk was going to be too hard. But I probably did spend 15 minutes trying to look up what Elon Musk might have drank or what he drinks regularly. Because I do like I do like it when the victim or the person I'm drawing sees a detail in it that they go, whoa. So I probably did look up one of these events he attended and look for a drink, but realizing very quickly that that was going to be impossible.
It's macho and self-confident cartoonists that don't put labels on their caricatures. And I don't think I've ever seen you label a caricature, and that's very good.
I do label caricatures of people who you won't readily know, like governor of a state or something, or a lesser known governor of state. I might label like Tuberville or something, like a guy that the average person wouldn't recognize right away.
So here you have Trump as a baby on a belly carrier from Putin giving a speech, and he's another version of the lapdog cartoon. It is scary.
Yeah, this is the first cartoon. I do this so long ago that I think this was the first cartoon where I finally nailed Trump. I finally am happy with how I'm depicting Trump.
Yeah. It's great.
I don't know how long ago it was, but it was, I remember thinking this is the best Trump I've done to that point.
Yeah, it really looks like him, and then, you know, stylized as well.
So. Yeah, and I worked really hard to get Putin looking
like Putin's that. And Putin's tough, actually. I find Putin harder than he looks. You think you got him.
There are some people that you would think would be easy to draw, but that have odd angles that you can't capture easily, and Putin's one of them. Yeah. To get him to look.
There's been no cartoonist convention of what a Putin caricature looks like. There's a huge range of different Putins. Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to draw more round now. It used to be that you do his hick nose, like big nose hook, and then you do a tiny mouth, but then the chin has to go so tight up, like almost no chin. But now Putin's gained all the weight underneath his chin. You can't get he looks too young if you draw him the old way. So now you have to draw him slightly different. And this was before, like since the war, he's gained 20 or 30 pounds. I find they're harder to draw at first. So at the beginning of their term, like Obama, let's talk about Obama. Like at the beginning, he was a young, youthful looking guy. By the end of it, he had bags under his eyes, gray hair. There was a premier of New Brunswick, Frank McKenna, who started off 45. I know I'm obscure politician from Canada, but he was hard to draw. I couldn't get him. But then as he got older, he became so easy, bags under his eyes, like his whole face looked like it was melting by the end. Politics does to you.
And there's also, you get to, you know, like a good caricature, I think, also starts to bring, you know, you're not just trying to get the likeness, it's their personality. Like with Putin, there's all this, it's who he is and how he, you know, you got this posture right there, like how he carries himself. You know, same with Trump, the various particular posture that he has, it's like all of that comes into fruition of who we think of this person as, and then you bring that into their features. Otherwise, it's just a straight drawing.
Yeah.
This is a field of the dead in Ukraine, as Trump is calling Putin a genius.
I've always drawn lots of landscapes full of the dead at the Washington Post. I don't think it went over very well.
Fields of the dead, especially the oceans of blood that we often see, especially now with the international crisis.
War. I mean, we're in the process of two major conflicts and a whole bunch of other conflicts. I mean, it's hard not to draw dead people right now, you know? I mean, that's what war is. It's killing people.
Yeah, and you're trying to make an impact. I mean, you're trying to say to the viewer, pay attention to this, and it should be strong. I don't see why.
I mean, one of those standard cartoon scenarios is to have the politician say something like this, totally delusional, in an absolute apocalyptic wasteland, you know, of death and destruction. I mean, that is cartooning 101. If that's not the number one means by which you come up with an idea, I don't know what is, but, you know, like somebody wrote that there were only 26 or 28 ideas, wasn't that? I can't remember who said that, but there were only a certain number of ideas. I tend to think that, you know, having a politician say something benign or totally delusional while reality is falling down behind them is a standard idea, you know, a standard cartoon trope. I don't even know if that's a trope, but it's a means by which you get to an idea or get to some type of trope.
Well, you know, cartoonists want to draw powerful cartoons, and I think we would all be more proud of a cartoon that made people cry than made people laugh. That's tough and rare.
When I get a comment from a reader that this cartoon made them cry, that is depending on the cartoon. I mean, if you try to make them laugh and they say that, it's not so good. But when someone says, I actually broke down after reading this cartoon, that is the ultimate compliment to me. Like an emotional response. It might not be crying, but some emotional response that besides laughing means I've succeeded more than a giant laugh or a belly laugh.
Here is another death cartoon with Trump. Oh, of course, do you mind if I play through with the famous photo of the two dead drowned refugees in Europe?
The biggest complaint I got from this cartoon from people was that Trump would never ask if he minds opportunity through. Like, I got so many of those. It was like, so this cartoon went viral like nothing I ever saw before. I think I had 100,000 shares within an hour. And many of them, well, he was too polite.
The hair is particularly funny here. Very often he does look like there's some kind of dead animal on top.
This was the period where I had his hair, that piece that I have so distinctly drawn. Many of my Trumps at this period, the hair was a separate thing. It looked like a hairpiece. So that was just playing in.
What do you call this period?
The hairpiece period.
Here, sports washing. You've got Trump on the green as the Saudis who have bought professional golf are sweeping dead Khashoggi and the saw under the green. The
funny thing is, I had just done a sweep something under the carpet not long before that, but this works so well as sweeping under the carpet that I had to do it again. I try to not do the similar idea for years after I draw them, but this one works so well as sweeping under the carpet, I had to do it.
All the negative space is really great too.
So the donkey and the elephant sitting on the couch watching January 6th hearings. The donkey says, "The public hearings into January 6th are riveting." And the elephant says, "Look, Hunter Biden's laptop."
Can I get you to read these cartoons to every reader?
Trump painting the targets on himself, the targets with the paint of Mar-a-Lago documents January 6th and election interference. And he says, "So unfair. How dare they keep making me a target?"
Very good.
I was disappointed I didn't get like a Target sponsorship out of this.
Why the hell don't cartoonists get sponsorships?
Because you can't control what we're going to say. That's why. I mean, they do. As New Yorker cartoonists, we do a lot of ad work. No one wants it from political cartoons because our whole point is that we're out here to do and say stuff a little stronger. You never know what's going to come up.
Back in the 50s, Philip Morris used to sponsor the National Cartoonist Society. And, you know, those were days when the cartoonists were all drawing cigarette smoking in their cartoons. And the cartoonists were all, you know, they traditionally smoke cigars. And Philip Morris would throw big parties for the cartoonists.
They should still do it.
The gun companies, too. They really need more love from the cartoons.
Yeah, okay, I'll skip that.
So here we've got Trump holding his E. Jean Carroll sexual abuse verdict label. And he says, "Never seen this woman before in my life." And it is justice squeezing him. That's a satisfying cartoon for the moment.
Yeah. I think when it came out, there's been a lot of them look kind of in the same vein afterwards, but then nobody knows when you did it. So then you go, so it looks like you did it with everybody else.
I have a question. Do you always stick with the three finger cartoon hand?
I do. I love a good three finger. I think Bugs Bunny leftovers.
On close ups, I always do four fingers.
Yeah.
I don't always do three, but I probably 50-50. I go through a period where I'm three fingers because it depends how it looks.
I'm like, the less lines I have, that's my goal, is to eventually get it down to there's three lines on a page and I'm done, and it said everything. It looked like my sketch.
And my goal is to give myself carpal tunnel every day.
Here you have two beggars on the street. The poor guy says, "We'll work for food," and Trump's sign says, "We'll do terrible things to America and play the victim for millions in campaign contribution. Please give, suckers."
That's just a simple cartoon that seems obvious that isn't. That's a really good idea.
Oh, thanks.
Very nice. Yeah.
It held up, which I love when they hold up.
Yeah.
That was done a while ago. And he's like, "Oh, it's still good." When you have one that like, oh, it's also sad, but because things haven't changed for the better.
So here we've got the orange wave, the angry elephant leaving Trump in the garbage can. Wonderful that Trump is defined by that wisp of hair and the tie. But this is like a cartoon that was wishful thinking for only a couple days.
It looked like it was going to be that way for normal. That one did not hold up, sadly.
When what was this following?
This is right after the 2022 election. We thought, yeah, they lost again, and just thought, okay, everybody, you know, people were becoming more vocal, and Republicans were becoming more vocal, and he's just a loser, and he's losing all, you know, congressional campaigns, and everyone he backs, he loses.
Yeah, it was a short period. It felt like 15 minutes.
Yeah, less until January.
Here's another wishful thinking cartoon with the grand old party in shambles from the wrecking ball. And the sign says, "Coming soon, the Trump party, donate. Donations welcome." And the GOP elephant says, "Sigh, I wish an elephant could forget." But, you know, they don't seem to show any sadness or regret. They do seem to forget very freely.
I think this one was drawn, which I sometimes will do, which is addressing the old party, which is still there and is not happy about the party that they have, that what it's becoming. And they're being left behind and they've lost control. There's a lot of Republicans where I live who do not subscribe to this particular Republican Party.
But they still vote Republican, don't they?
Yeah, well, because it's become politics in America is a sport, right? They fly flags, you root for them, you don't change teams. It's not about what your platform or what your issues are. It's just, I chose this, I would never go to that side. And that's a really, you know, we have a lot of purples who are playing it both ways. But
this is a rhino cartoon, and I got that it's a rhino cartoon right off the bat.
And it's also our last cartoon.
Okay.
So there you go.
Gentlemen, it was very nice to have you.
What's the next one about? Cooking?
I think I'm going to do a bunch of Trumps in a row. So, gentlemen, remember to like and subscribe to the Kegelcast wherever you're watching it, and join our mailing list at kegel.com/subscribe. You will never miss out on a new Kegelcast, and you will also get to see the 5 most popular cartoons in America every day in your newsletter. It's very exciting, and it was very nice having you.
Thanks for having me on.
Having us, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's the end.
Good talking to you. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.